What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I'm your host, Chris DeSellums, and with me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
Hey.
First thing, right off the bat. I think we should partially take blame for what's going on, because we were right on. We should have never changed our minds. We buried the Islanders. We attended the wake. You gave a beautiful eulogy. We watched them lower the casket in. We cried. We threw flowers on top of the casket as it went down. It was a beautiful ceremony. We shipped them off. We said goodbye. Smell you later. See you in the fall. And then they went on that run, and like a fucking zombie, you saw, or like the Undertaker,
back from the dead.
Like the Undertaker, you saw that hand come out of the dirt. It was the Islanders. We were like, son of a bitch, they're back. No. They were never fucking back. It was all an illusion. It was like an oasis.
It was a ruse.
It was something. We were in the desert, and it's still 1,000 degrees outside. It was nothing. It was nothing. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, and I think you'll agree with me. The Islanders, if you believe the Islanders' season is not over, I'm sorry to be the guy breaking this news, but the Islanders are officially, they are dead. They are in such a hole, outside looking in, because even if they come out of the next two games with a win, you are still fighting for your life. And if you don't think Carolina, if they go up 3-1, are going to want to close the series, or they go up 3-0, are going to want to close the series, you're out of your mind. They are going to want to close the series no matter what. I don't see a world where the Islanders make this a series. I need to know how you feel. We're gonna dive into it. I'll throw it to you first, though. I mean, like, but they're dead.
Yeah. Oh, spot on. I mean, I think, like, you nailed it. I mean, the euphemism was perfect, because it's like, you think they were back, but at the end of the day, all the problems that have plagued them all year, you know, it's a spade is a spade, and the Islanders are the Islanders, and what happened all year came back to haunt them again on Monday night. And I think that, like you said, with them, the season being over, I tweeted it. I was like, I would say it was a good run, but it wasn't. This was one of the most miserable seasons besides the last 2 weeks that I've ever experienced as a fan in my, 13, 18 years, I'd say, of being a fan, being 25 years old. So I started really diving in when I was 7 or 8. It's been just miserable. I mean, I don't think, unfortunately, that the Islanders are A, capable of winning 4 out of 5 against Carolina, including winning 2 on the road. That's not happening. And B, I don't think that when you're the inferior team, I don't think you can come back from a loss like that. Somebody tweeted that, and I wish I remembered who. It was some big hockey personality, and I feel bad for not remembering who, but yeah, it's just like that loss is one of them. That loss is bad enough when you're like the better team in the series, but like when you're the worst team in the series and you're outclassed this heavily already, like, anytime Carolina's down now, they're going to be confident. Like, there's just no coming back from it, unfortunately.
I think, like, the big thing for me after game one was, because they were talking about it on Chicklets, they said the Islanders played better for 40 minutes in game one. They were the better team.
Maybe even 45, 50. I mean, they were really good.
They hung into that first game as long as they could.
They should have won.
And they should have won, but they didn't. And I think it was Whitney. He was like, the Islanders,
I know what you're going to say. I tweeted it too.
Yeah. And lost. He goes, there's no way they're going to win this series, because they gave it their everything they had, and it didn't amount to a win. And you're not playing a team that's just all around better than you, played like in that first game in particular, played like shit for, you could even, yeah, make the argument 45 to 50 minutes. They played 10 solid minutes of hockey and won that game. That is soul crushing.
Yeah, especially like even through game two, like the shots are the shots. You know, it's Carolina. The Islanders just got hemmed in for.
But that total is insane.
Most of the game. I don't know if you can hear what's going on outside, but somebody's driving by with loud music. So sorry if you heard that. The shot total was insane. But on the other hand, like through, what was it, about 30 minutes, I think, they were up 3-0. So like you basically played 90 minutes of pretty good hockey against the Hurricanes and came out with 0 wins out of 2. I mean, it's insane to me. I mean, you know, you can talk about the diving and the first penalty call in game one. That kind of sunk them 1-0. But, you know, they had their chances and Anderson stood on his head and they played their best possible game and they lost. And like you mentioned with Spin Chicklets, like I was so worried about that this was like their best effort and they couldn't scrap out a win. And then, you know, you're feeling confident up 3-0 in game two. And it's almost like I'm not surprised that they came back and lost, like, or the Hurricanes came back and won. Man, it's the way it happened. 2 goals in 9 seconds. I mean, MSG wasn't even done showing the replay and they cut back to Dobson, who's the puck behind the net. And I'm looking up and I'm like, oh my God. Like I could feel it in my mind. Like, it was like, I think I've said this before on the podcast about something else. I don't even remember what, but it was like a movie where like time slowed down and like you could see every frame by frame going through my mind. And I just remember in that one split second, that half a second, I was like, holy crap, Varlamov's going the wrong way. And you could just see Martinuk wrap it right back around. And I'm just to lose in 9 seconds like that, it's just so crushing. I mean, there's just no other way about it.
I was watching. So I'm happy you pointed out that you were watching the MSG broadcast, because I think – I can't remember where the game was on. It was either on ESPN or TNT. But they didn't show the replay. They just – they kept it going. And I texted a group chat that we're in for, like, hockey plays and betting and stuff. And I didn't even really know what happened. It took me a while to process what had happened. But in the immediate, I was just like, what just happened in Raleigh, North Carolina? Because 9 seconds ago, it was a
3-2 Islanders.
Yeah, 3-2 game. Now it's a 3-3 game, and there's like 8 minutes left or whatever.
No, there was like 2 minutes left. The Carolina.
Oh, was it
2.5 minutes left to tie it? They had their goalie.
Did they get their first one with like 8 minutes left then?
Yeah, the Jarvis one came about halfway through to make it.
Okay, that's
three okay, to then I was confusing make it 3-2. Yeah, and then Aho scored to make it 3-3 with about 2.5 minutes left. And okay, then after yeah, that, so like Waugh said that he thought about taking his time out and was like, you know what? I have Peugeot's line out there. They're defensively responsible. Like, if this turns into a face-off in my zone, I'm going to take a timeout. And he was saying in the press conference, like, I could have never expected what happened.
I mean, that never in a million years. Like, it was worse. It was worse in the stadium series. That loss, 100%. I mean, and just what happened after too, like the slashing and Nelson, who's been invisible all series, slashing Gensel going for the empty net, and Matt Martin getting into it when he's not been doing anything. He's just been getting hemmed in the zone for 2 minutes. I mean, quite frankly, like the Islanders have had a lot of garbage go on over the years that I've been a fan, and there's been fight nights like the Big Penguins one and couple other ones, but man, it was just embarrassing, to be honest. I thought that their reaction to doing that was just flat out embarrassing. The Kings just scored a nasty goal, by the way. It was just, man, I just like it just disgusted me their response to their own doing in losing that game. I mean, why are you slashing and blaming things when they didn't have a shot in 33 minutes? How is that possible?
That stat was crazy when you told me about that. I honestly didn't even believe it for a second.
It's just absolutely you go up 3-0 and you don't get a shot for 33 minutes. How is that absolutely possible? I mean, that blows my mind. I mean,
look, I know where you have some of the stuff saved for the summer about the Islanders, but like I honestly don't know. They're going to lose a series to Carolina.
Obviously, I'm quite frankly, I'm going to game four. I hope I don't have to see handshakes. I mean, if I do, I'm not going to be surprised if they get swept at this point because they're clearly outmatched. But look, I want to say they have a good core with Sorokin and Barzal and Horvat. You know, I don't think Barzal is doing anything special, but regardless, I just don't. They really can't. I know they're not going to rebuild, but like, how many more years of 16th to 20th place, like, can you possibly take? Are you just going to do this every year? You're just going to scrap into the playoffs and get absolutely mollywopped by Boston or Carolina or the Rangers? Like, you're just so stuck in the middle of nowhere, and it's just so frustrating that they clawed all their way here, and, you know, they give you that hope, and then they just they pull a stunt like that. It's just really disheartening as a fan.
Yeah, I was texting my cousin about it yesterday, I think. That this summer is essentially it's a huge summer for the Islanders, and
yeah,
and we'll talk about Lou another time, but I told him I said, you know, the Islanders essentially are forced to start their retool because I don't think they can go into next season not really making any moves over the summer. They need to cut some of the fat off.
For sure.
They need to get some fresh legs, some fresh blood into the lineup, get a year of Wah under their belt, and see what happens, see how the season plays out, and then reassess again the next summer and keep retooling. Because I think, like you said, if they don't and they just keep throwing out the same team, the same core, you're going to find yourself eventually in limbo where you're good enough to make the playoffs, but you're probably a first or second round exit. You're picking in the late teens, early 20s, and you know you're stuck there for a while.
It's just brutal. Yeah, I mean, you talk about fresh talent, like. Their best player through two games, this could really tell you something about the roster, is
been undrafted, played 32 games in the NHL, got called the season, Kyle MacLean.
He's been their best player by far in two games and hasn't even been close. So, I mean, that should really tell you something. But you're right. I mean, I kind of wish they would retool at this point just because I can't take this mediocrity anymore. But I don't think they're going to do it. And it's a shame because I tweeted this as well. It's this team and this core – I think it's very apparent at this point, and I think I pushed off this notion for a long time. I've been a loyal fan. I've honestly given Lamoureux a lot more credit, I think, than other people have, and it's in the receipts on the podcast as well. Mm-hmm. But I think, unfortunately, the Islanders, and it really dawned on me, like, the shining light coming down after game two when I was just literally sitting staring at my black TV screen, is that this core – this era of the Islanders after John Tavares and all they've meant for the team with Barzal and Pelech, maybe not Barzal because he's so young, but Pelech, Pulak, Pageau, Lee, Nelson, great Islanders, but their legacy at this point is always going to be what could have been in 2021. They're not going to sniff a cup with this core again. So it's really just like, all good over there.
I hear some sort of shouts outside, I think. I think the feral cats in my neighborhoods might be procreating.
Oh.
Sorry if you can hear that.
I couldn't hear. I just thought you get very concerned. I thought I was like breaking into your house, but glad it's just the feral cats. But like I was saying, unfortunately, I think the legacy of this group is just what could have been in 2021, man. It's just they're never going to do it again. It's never going to be that close. And you know what? They missed their shot. They missed it. They lost 1-0 in game seven and they missed it. And they've been great Islanders, but it's a shame. I'm never going to see them lift the Stanley Cup. I'm never going to see Brock Nelson or Anders Lee win a Stanley Cup with the Islanders. And it is what it is. You know, you had your chance and such is life. There's been so many teams over the course of history that have had their chances over a couple years and just didn't get it done. And this is what that Islanders core is. So really overall deflating, embarrassing, eye-opening,
loss on Monday night is basically the gist of it. So still can't believe that happened, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game tomorrow.
I mean, they got to win. There's just no choice. I mean,
you got to win game three because you have hope then that, you know,
you got to win both at home.
If you get a couple chances here and there, you can probably you can believe in maybe winning game four. If you lose game three,
oh, it's so over.
It's probably over. But I mean, yeah, I don't. Man. It's such a tough situation to be in.
Also, the fact of the matter is that Carolina is doing this without one of their best defensive forwards, Jesper Fast, and Brett Pesce was out for 3/4 of that game Monday night. So it's like they're a depleted Carolina team too, and they just like, man, the Islanders are absolutely no freaking match for them. They are if they advance like we think they're going to, and we'll get to the Rangers as well. I mean, that's going to be a hell of a series because Carolina, man, they are good. I mean, I don't know if the Islanders are just like not good. It's possible, but like, man, they're fast. They're pesky. They're just a pain to play against. I mean, I hate their fans, but the team is fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
Damn. I'm just trying to think about any other Islander thoughts about like the games or anything. I mean, damn, I just can't believe they're up 3-0 and lost that game. 3-0. Let me see when they scored that third goal.
It's kind of like the antithesis of like the whole season though.
Nice.
Yeah, you feel confident, you blow a game and you're just like, what the fuck, man? Like, why can't we hold on to a lead like this? Like,
until they didn't score until they scored 4 minutes into the second. The Islanders did. I don't want to be in cahoots with those guys anymore.
And then the Hurricanes scored with 7 minutes left in the second to get their first goal. So you were up with 27 minutes left in this game. I mean, part of me like was like, I don't feel safe at all because of the barrage happening. But like, part of me was like, there's no way, right? Like, there's no way they blow this lead. And the fact that, like, honestly, if they lost overtime, I'd be like, ah, that sucks big time. But like, I would not be having this like existential crisis right now that I am since it ended with 2 goals in 9 seconds and them just being just soft as Charmin.
Yeah. You hate to see it.
Wow. Did not, you know, I don't know. I feel like a jabroni for picking Islanders in seven. My blue and orange glasses got in the way. Did not expect it to go down like this, but
life comes at you fast, man.
And I wonder, like, what is the rhetoric around the Islanders right now if they would have won game one like they probably should have? That's what I'm curious about. Like, you know, you still lose that way in game two, but if they just won that game in game one, Oilers goal, very nice, then it would have been just totally different. I mean, they hit two posts at the end, Palmieri missed an open net. They had so many chances to win that game, and they just couldn't pull it through. So now you got to fight to win two at home and then try to steal game five. It's about the only option.
Unless you want to go seven. I do not want to go to seven in Raleigh, I'll tell you that much. But I think I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself there, to say the least. But
that's enough Islanders. Unless you have anything else to add, I'm just going to wallow in misery about
another 17th overall pick, or 18th, I guess.
Yeah. No, things are very different.
They're not equally as bad over there? I thought they... You sure?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rangers series against the Caps right now is going about pretty much as expected.
Yeah.
Game one was an absolute disaster for the Caps. 4-1 victory for New York. 4 goals in the second period. Getting ahead of myself, but I guess like one of my legends of the week can be the fourth line just in that game alone. Rempe had a goal with an insane assist from VZ, and
he got the first one.
Goodrow, Panarin got the monkey off his back pretty early, like literally almost like 40 seconds later. And then VZ got another one about 2 minutes later. with an assist from Goodrow. And then Chris Kreider got one in the third period with about 4 minutes left. Or about either 4 minutes into the period or 4 minutes left. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the Caps just looked deflated. They don't look great.
Yeah.
Little tidbit. Ovi was a minus one on the stat sheet. He had no goals, no assists.
Called out by their coach after game two, saying he just doesn't look right.
I mean, I don't think crazy. He registered. He didn't. I don't think he. Yeah. So the big thing after game one was I think the first time in his career, or it's a very small number. He didn't register a shot that first game. Crazy. He was a ghost, and the same thing happened in game two. He was like a ghost. Obviously, a much different game, a 4-3 game, very, very back and forth. Let me see here. Ovi, yeah, he had one shot. So he had one. He has in six periods of play, he only has one shot on goal.
And he had that brutal turnover on the Keandre Miller goal. I mean, awful. Yeah. Neutrals on turnover.
Mika picked his pocket pretty bad.
He was just standing still. He looked like a beer league player. It looked like me, honestly, catching a puck on the boards in beer league.
I mean, like the vibe that I got from him after the first two games was, I don't necessarily know if he wants to play anymore. Especially like in the postseason, I think he's just in it for the stat padding and for that record. I genuinely believe he does not have the competitive spirit he has anymore.
Passion. I mean, you look at old Ovi with, you know, I know he's younger, but like the flame on the stick, the celebrations, you got that a little bit this year, but like, he's not the Ovi of the.
But it was in like the back half of the season. He went, I think, into the All-Star break with only 9 goals. Yeah, sure, he finished with 31, but it's like you're not getting the hungry Ovi. In his mind, he has his cup. He's just essentially shooting for that goal scoring record. He knows he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer one day. He really doesn't have anything else to play for. He's got nothing else to really prove, I guess, in his mind. So it's like,
he doesn't have anything to prove.
It's like, well, yeah. So like, what's the point? I think from like the looks of it, I don't think he believed they were going to make the playoffs, and then somehow they snuck in, and he's like, all right, well, you know, I was planning, you know, I gotta play for 2 more weeks. You know, I had a nice golf trip lined up or whatever. I was going to meet Vlad back in Russia. Game two,
he doesn't look like himself.
No, I mean, what's crazy is between game one and game two, Charlie Lindgren, he took the Caps to the playoffs. He played amazing down the stretch for the Caps, but his save percentage was an 871 in game one and then 857 in game two.
I wouldn't say it's his fault, though. There's really not much he can do.
It's definitely not his fault, but the guy that I'm just like I'm just kind of pointing at him right now, just because you need him. He was the reason why he got there. You need like the best out of him, and obviously the team around him needs to be playing better. But he's just not stopping the puck right now. And the Rangers are taking advantage of that.
I mean, if they wanted any chance to win that series, the Caps or even have a chance that series, they needed Lindgren to be like insane. 0.930 level, but obviously you don't want him to be sub 900, but like if they had any chance, they needed him to be like otherworldly, and he's just not been. So it's just another that really just loses all their hope whatsoever.
100%. And I'm looking at, I'm doing the math real quick. 952 divide that by 2. Igor right now has a 0.916 save percentage. So kind of wish it was a 0.92, but it is what it is. Game two was definitely better than game one. It was way more competitive. One of the things that they were talking about on Chicklets today was the officiating. And I kind of agree, but disagree with them at the same time. The thing that I agree with them on is I think the officiating has been pretty bad the two games. Not in the sense of like, oh, the Rangers aren't getting calls. What the fuck? It's just bad between those two games because there was zero consistency in what they called between the games. What was called for a penalty in game one wasn't getting called for penalties in game two. What was getting called for penalties in game two wasn't getting called in games and for penalties in game one. So it's just like there's not a ton of consistency there. So I would like more consistency out of the officiating in the games moving forward. I agree with them there. What I don't agree with them on, and this came from Biz, was he said, you know, we all knew the Rangers were going to win the series, but they don't need the refs help to win the series. And 11. The Caps have 11 have had 11 power play chances. The Rangers have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So it's 11-9 in terms of power play chances. You know, 11 to the Caps, 9 to the Rangers. So it's not like the Rangers are getting like a significantly – they're not getting significantly more calls. I can understand that argument if it was like 15 to 2 or something and the Rangers were constantly on the power play between both games. But it's pretty much being called down the middle. But that also – is the problem with the officiating as well, is that you have the Kelly Sutherlands of the world and the Wes McCauleys of the world who, on fucking record, we have audio recordings of them being like, hey, I got to call it this way because I got to make sure the calls are even. That's the mindset you have with your league referees is, I'm not going – like, yes, I'm going to call penalties, but I'm also keeping in the back of my mind how many I'm calling so I can keep it as even as possible. That's a problem with the officiating as well, is that you have those type of crews who are just going to call it even. So, oh, I gave – the Rangers have had two power plays in a row. I'm looking to give the Caps one. So I'm going to call something, even if it's a weak call. So I disagree with them there. But game two – was definitely better. High scoring game, 4-3 win. I thought the Caps showed more life. It was definitely chippier between two teams. I believe game three is going to be even worse. I think something's going to boil over. You can kind of
go off to Panarin, obviously.
So I don't know if it's true, but I saw a clip. Some player on the Caps got hot mic'd, and a lot of people are saying it was Wilson, but the player and I didn't like the tweet, but I definitely saw it, and it was a clip from the game. There was a player on the ice saying, "If you're gonna go after McMichael, I'm going after Panarin, you dumb fuck." Again, I don't want to speculate that it was Wilson, but someone said it. We all know Panarin and Tom Wilson have a little bit of a history. And Panarin laid that hit on Oshie, and we can talk about that. But yeah, I definitely think Panarin probably has a target on his back, but I also believe that the Rangers know that he probably has a target on his back, and they're not going to stand around and let something happen to him.
Throw Rempe on his wing.
Yeah.
First playoff goal scorer, Matt Rempe, to me, actually. Sorry. The most ridiculous storyline of the playoffs.
It is. But he looked really fucking bad yesterday. Like, really, really fucking bad.
I mean, it's all worth it for just that one goal. I mean, like, I was texting Josh, and it was just like, everybody was kind of clowning him for getting that charging penalty, air quotes, in the first.
That was a bad call. I didn't like that call.
It wasn't a great call. And then everybody's clowning him, like, oh, told you, Rempe. I mean, I was too. I was thinking the same thing, that he goes back and scores. I was like, oof. It's not going to help the anti-Rempe agenda.
Yeah, when he scored, I was just like, it's comical at this point. Like, of course it was him. But Where was I going with that? I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought.
Sorry. I totally derailed you there. My fault.
We were talking about the hit and how they're going to go after Panarin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're talking about Rempe. Yeah, yesterday he was on the ice for, I believe, 5 shots on goal for the Rangers, which is cool, creating chances. He was also on the ice for 15 shots on goal for the Caps. Wow, so
that's nothing numbers compared to the Islanders. What site? I wonder what site I can find that on. I got to go find out what Matt Martin was yesterday on Monday.
So just like not great, not what you wanted to see. What was really, really annoying was the last like 2.5 minutes of the game yesterday. Murley on Chicklet said it best. It looked like the Rangers were almost playing with pool noodles. They could just not get the puck out of the zone. It started with Vizi trying to shoot on the empty net, which led to an icing, and then they just got pinched in the zone. I think Lindgren and Truba played for nearly 3 minutes when that game ended. Everyone else was well over 2 minutes as well. I don't know why, but they kept trying to clear it. They kept trying to get the puck out off the glass on the left side of the ice. And whoever, whoever it was on the Caps, number 74, he was standing at the blue line. And every time they cleared it, he was either standing there and when it hit him and he would just drop it back down on the ice and continue play. He was jumping in the air, grabbing the puck, throwing it back down on the ice. They could not fucking clear it. Igor stood on his head for them to keep that game 4-3 and not force overtime, which I definitely think probably like crushed some spirit for Caps players and fans. Is like you had 2 minutes of 6-on-5 in the Rangers defensive zone and you couldn't get one. So that's brutal there. But I have to believe that the Rangers will probably split the series in DC.
I think we said
that's, Rangers. And five, I think right? that's
or actually six,
Rangers
maybe.
And six.
I think we said six.
I think I'm starting to believe the way these two games have gone, it's probably going to go 5. I think once the Caps lose at home, this series is over.
For sure.
Now I don't know if I want the Rangers to lose tomorrow or Friday or on Sunday. My initial thought is if you lose game 3, then you win game 4, you have more drive to win in the Garden in game 5. But also the flip side of it is if you win tomorrow and go up 3-0, you could try to win game 4, but if you lose game 4, you still want to win game 5. So it's kind of like a win-win for me.
I think you're thinking way too deep into this.
I am, but that's what I'm going to do. It's playoffs, baby. I'm going to overanalyze every scenario.
Major.
But one other thing that I wanted to note real quick.
Also, sorry, before you go into your last point, I just want to wrap up something really quick. In case you're curious, actually, Matt Martin had the best Corsi for last game for the Islanders at 33%. Mm-hmm. Anders Lee had 2 shots for and 18 shots against for the worst. So that's really lovely. And one of the shots was a goal. So shout out him for his, 10% Corsi 4. Gotta love it.
Shout out to Henrik.
Just wanted to throw that out there. Let me see.
Shout out to Henrik. I was watching I was just looking over the TNT broadcast. Beautiful blue pinstripe suit on the man.
Oh, he does look nice. Holy crap. Do you want to guess what? Jordan Staal was on the ice for 37 attempts, either way. How many do you think were for versus against?
In 12 minutes of time on ice.
28-4.
Higher.
Oh, God. 34-4?
35 out of 37. His Corsi 4 was 95%. Oh, my God. How is that possible? Oh, God.
Insane, man.
What was your last point? Sorry.
I forget I think it's only happened for 3 different teams, but the Rangers are the 4th team ever in the playoffs to have 8 different guys on the score sheet. I guess in the first 2 games or whatever, which is really nice. I'm really happy that
really?
Yeah, it's like three other teams.
I think, check on that. That seems wild to me, but maybe it's true.
I'll find it when you're monologuing.
Well, I know you wouldn't pull that out of your ass, so it's got to be.
That's true. The thing. I saw it online.
Imagine you just came up down off the top of your head.
Yeah, it's like, it was like a Leafs team, I believe, in like the 50s. I think the last team to have like eight unique goal scorers was like the
Rover.
Seven
two Rovers,
Oilers, I think.
That sounds about right. Gretzky was just feeding them all.
I'm going to try to find the tweet, but yeah, I mean, Trocheck has a goal.
Impressive.
Zibanejad has a goal. Panarin has a goal. Kreider has a goal. So the big thing that I was, with those four guys in particular, the big thing with them was those are your heavy hitters. Those are the stars. You need them to show up. They're showing up. They're getting the monkey off their back early, scoring goals. Now it's like, you know, you're not in a situation if you're Panarin and especially like Zibanejad, where it's Panarin looked not great last year against the Devils and Zibanejad looked not great the entire year. You knew you had a lot of pressure. Panarin gets that goal early. He looked ecstatic when he was celebrating. Zibanejad scored. He looked really happy. Now you don't have to worry about, I got to get my first tuck. You have that one in the bag already. So now it's just going to come easy.
That's huge.
You can relax a little bit. You got one. You just keep trying to get more. So that's huge.
Especially with Panarin, it's just big because like there was one shift yesterday. Did they play yesterday? Whatever. Yeah, they had to play yesterday, Tuesday. He came into the zone and he did two between the legs moves and then did a quick turn to cut back to the middle and got shot on goal. He's playing with a lot of confidence right now. And it's honestly like this is the first time I've seen Panarin really play. I mean, he's always been fantastic. I mean, the guy got Ryan Strom like $30 million. He's always been an amazing player, but like I'm watching him right now and I'm like scared as an Islander fan because I'm like, this guy he's playing on another level right now. Like he looks on it. Just everything about it, especially also like, like we talked about before, like you texted me, I wasn't watching at that point, but like you were like, oh my God, like Panarin just threw a massive hit on Oshie. And I was like, Panarin threw a hit, and especially a big one on like and that's not a shot at him. He's just not a physical player. And it's like,
no.
Those moments, it's like he looks like he's really trying to lead the charge this year. And that terrifies me.
The first point that you made about him in the cap zone doing like those crazy, you know, nasty between the legs and behind the back shit. Gerard Gallant deserves jail time because that's the exact thing that Panarin said he was told not to do stupid shit with the puck. And it's like you see him do it with the puck and you if you're an opposing fan, you're watching him do that, go, oh my God, he just did that back to back and it still has the puck and got a shot off. Fuck, this is not good. And then the flip side, I guess, yeah, we can talk about it briefly.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't really he didn't provide necessarily any offense yesterday for the Rangers, but he, you know, took the other route. If you're not going to provide offense, provide physicality. Him and Oshie were jawing at each other the whole game, in each other's faces, and he saw an opportunity, he took it. You know, I'm not going to argue with anyone whether they thought the hit was dirty or clean. You can make the argument either way.
I thought it was fine as an Islander fan.
I did too. I mean, like Oshie's again. He's not, head's not on a swivel. He's bent over. If he's standing straight up, it's shoulder into chest. So that's a clean hit. But also too, like, and especially like Rangers fans were pointing it out today. The same exact thing happened on Sunday. But it was Wilson hitting Zibanejad. It was the same hit. Like Wilson extended the shoulder, went high, no call. No one bitched about it. Like it's just we gotta move. We gotta move on, people. We can't.
People just love complaining, and they also just love slowing things down to 20 frames per second and analyzing every inch by inch. Always his shoulder reached up at the last second, or his stick hit him in the tip of the nose. It's like, bro, these things happen on the ice. Like, when I'm playing beer league, I'm like, my God, like I feel like things are going a million miles an hour. And it's like, you have to make decisions so fast, and then multiply that by about 1.15 quadrillion million, and that's what how the NHL works. And it's like these things happen so fast. It's like these guys aren't necessarily intentionally. Panera's not coming in and be like, "Oh, I see Oshie's head down. Let me concuss the guy." Like they have more respect for each other than that.
Into it being like, "This guy put me in a fucking headlock from behind. I got splashed by him before. He's been jawing at me all night. Here's a hit. It's in front of me. I'm gonna fucking jump at the opportunity to do it." And I think
people are soft.
People are like all up in arms about it is because one, it was Panarin who did it, who's a guy who's again not very physical. Again, you mentioned it. I texted you it happened. You're like, "What the fuck?" Panarin hit someone. But two, they reviewed it during the break. They took a commercial break. They reviewed it for a major penalty. They said no. They reviewed it for a minor penalty. They said no. People are up in arms about that. But then the Caps, McMichael jumps into play. He gets called for roughing, and the Caps are on the PK now. That's, I think, what ultimately has everyone up in arms, is that that happened, and then the Caps are now on the PK because of all of it. And you're like, how can you say, like, no suspension for Panarin, no fine for Panarin, no penalties for Panarin, and then the Caps go on the penalty. It's like, shut up.
It's like, did these people think that they know better than the referees who have been doing this their whole lives and the Toronto Situation Room? Like, what am I missing here? That these people online think they know better than the professionals. Like, these guys have been studying the rules for their whole freaking lives.
And what annoys me is, like, it's and it goes back to, like, I think we were talking about this before we started recording, but, like, the Bizzes of the world who were, you know, just greaseball fighting, hitting players, and people of his ilk are the ones that are complaining the most about it, when it's like, you guys are the ones that want this shit to happen in the league. You're the ones who want these open ice hits, these big hits, these clean hits. Now they're happening, and you're complaining about it because, oh, well, certain circumstances. It's like, shut up. Also, I found the tweet. It's from Statboy Steve, who, love him or hate him, he does have some interesting stats here and there for the Rangers. New York Rangers are only the fourth team in NHL history to have 8 different goal scorers their first 52 playoff games: the 1982 Kings, the 1985 Blackhawks, and the 1987 Oilers are the other three.
A strange stat.
That's useless crazy. Fucking stat, but a stat nonetheless.
I'm surprised you guys didn't try to connect it to 1994 like everything else this year. Crazy is that, though, to be fair.
I knew it wasn't fucking crazy. I knew I saw that shit somewhere.
I knew you didn't pull that. I honestly couldn't believe it. Like, that's crazy.
That's crazy. But enough about the Rangers. There's other playoff series going on. We don't need to run through everything. We can just kind of do a quick rapid fire. We'll start with I won't touch on Dallas Kings right now. It's a 1-1 game, game two. I think Dallas does need to win this game, because if they don't, they are dead in the water. I think our Winnipeg pick is not looking great. I think
great series, though. I mean, man, what a banger.
It is a good series. I think Colorado.
Hellbuck's been a sieve.
Yeah, I think Colorado is ultimately going to win this series, so that's not looking great. Pretty good. Florida going up 2-0 against Tampa. I don't think Tampa's out yet, but if they split the series in Tampa Bay, that series is pretty much all but done. Boston got a huge win tonight.
Florida's unbelievable. I'm very happy with my Florida Stanley Cup final winner pick. But that being said, they lost Sam Bennett. That's a big piece of their team. Sounds like he's going to be out for a long time.
They were talking about it on Chicklets today. They said, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but they said one of the beat reporters there was talking to, like, I guess, a team doctor or some sort of doctor or something. They think he'll only be out for a week. I think Paul Maurice came out and said it's not as bad as we initially thought. They think it's bruise. He could be back within a week.
Dude, I don't want to. No team in the league should want to face Florida right now. They're everything you want on a playoff team. They're unbelievable. And Bobrovsky's playing insane.
He's playing out of his mind.
That's just absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, when you look at that, it's like Sam Bennett's back in a week, and the next series you're going to talk about, it's like, where is William Nylander's practicing and skating around, and he's so soft that he can't get in the game? I mean, give me a break. Soft.
They're saying he's dealing with conkies.
Give me. I cannot believe he isn't playing. But Boston won tonight. Big win.
Yeah, Boston got a huge win against Toronto. Toronto needs to win that next game. I think Nashville, I genuinely believe Nashville can beat Vancouver, especially with Demko out.
I mean, that changes the whole series. I mean, we're going to look like geniuses just because of the Demko injury.
I mean, yeah, you heard it here first. We were both aligned with that.
It was crazy, too. My parents and I do a bracket every year. Shout out them. We do not consult at all. I don't know if they consulted with each other back home, but like they both chose Nashville, too. I was like, wow, I'm impressed. But yeah, I mean, Vancouver was really good in game one, and then that Demko injury, that's killer, man.
Yeah, that's brutal for them. And then Edmonton's playing right now, so we'll see what happens there. They're up 1-0 in the series, but I believe they're only up 2, or they're down 2-1 in the game.
I think it's 3-1 now, right?
Is it 3-1 now?
Yeah, Doughty got a breakaway.
Yeah, holy
shit. Where was all this in the last week of the regular season? My fantasy teams, Doughty, Robertson. I mean, come on, give me a break, fellas. But yeah, that's LA's fine back. I mean, if LA gets one on the road, you never know, man. It's all you need is just one on the road.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I'm enjoying these playoffs so far. I think every game's been really, really good.
Are you feeling poor about any of your picks? I'm going to look at them right now. I think the only one I feel bad about right now is I still feel good about Winnipeg. I don't feel – the only one I feel bad about is the freaking Islanders, man.
Yeah. The only one I don't love my Toronto pick right now.
I was going to say, Toronto's looking a little dicey.
Especially if Nylander doesn't play and they lose game 4, they're fucked. And
I see where you're coming from with Colorado.
That I like. I think the Jets can make it a series, but they definitely need Hellebuyck to be playing better. And they need to figure out a way to stop Colorado from playing the style of hockey that Colorado wants to play, because I think they're relying too much on, we're just going to play a super defensive game and Hellebuck's going to, you know, make the saves and everything. Colorado's just not going to let you do that. The only other series that I don't feel the best about is Dallas, but again, they're playing right now. If they win tonight, then you have a series, but if they lose tonight, it's not looking great.
No, Vegas looks much better than I thought.
I mean,
yeah.
You talk about losing tonight. Like, yeah, they're cooked. I think if they, I mean,
but also fuck hail. Vegas. They killed the eight legger. They killed the eight legger. Fuck them. Yeah, that was the only leg that didn't hit.
Mark Stone.
Yeah, you can't script that any better, dude.
It's just ridiculous, man. Their 20-man roster tonight, mind you. I think Frank Saravelli tweeted this, so do with that information what you will. But Vegas is. 20-man roster tonight in the game is about 87 mil, and a 23-man roster in the regular season this year was 83 mil. So, you know, really, really fair. So, gotta love Mark Stone coming back for game one. Lacerated spleen. I mean, isn't that amazing that he just lacerated spleen at the exact time that it would take to heal up into the playoffs?
I saw somewhere heard on Chicklets from, they said, reliable sources that he, earliest he can come back would have been the conference finals, because they said the injury was legitimate and people genuinely didn't believe he was going to come back. I should have known that was a crock of shit. but it is what it is. Vegas is going to just keep doing it. We're going to keep bitching about it until the NHL does something about it. Tampa gave him the blueprint, and Vegas is running with it now.
Chicago did back in 2015.
Also true, yeah.
But it sounds like from what Freeman is saying is that they're going to talk about it when the CBA is up in 2 years and probably come to a resolution then. I mean, it's such an easy fix, but whatever.
I guess the only other big news is David Quinn got fired from the Sharks today.
Arguably, we need to do something with that roster.
Yeah. Whoever takes, I don't know who would want that job right now, but also like, if you get a new coach in, you're not getting more than 60 points. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't know what they do there. What a weird saga that was. And Lindy Ruff is now the head coach again in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Strange move. Don't get it.
Only a two-year deal too. So what, is Buffalo just going to suck again for 2 years and change coaches again? I mean, these guys are never going to be good. I'm telling you.
Buffalo is just like, and I texted you, they're the team that will just never get out of their own way.
Nope. I mean, this, of all the hires, like, I guess they want it to be hard-nosed and experienced to kind of, because I think from what I've heard online is that their young guys kind of need a kick in the ass. It's kind of like Ottawa. They just don't play as much defense as other teams. They're just not as tough as other teams. But like, was Lindy Ruff really the best option when you have like Dean Evason and Craig Berube out there? Like, I don't know, man.
To your point, though, I was talking over you, so my apologies about that. No. I agree. I think David Quinn probably will never coach in the NHL again. I'd be shocked if he does.
Not as a head coach. Maybe an assistant or maybe, like an associate.
Yeah, I don't see him going back to the college hockey and getting to coach. Fair. Year program, or know. Even in the NHL. I don't I, like.
He's a great college coach.
Yeah, I think I agree. I don't think he'll ever I don't think he'll ever be a head coach in the NHL again. That's like, I 100% agree with you there. The highest he can go is probably an assistant somewhere.
Yeah,
I think he probably will be a head coach in college again. I don't know if it immediately will be for like a premier program. He might have to, you know, go to like a second tier program or something. I don't know.
The Rick Pitino route.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of what options are out there. That's something that's on my bucket list.
Never know.
Yeah. That's on my bucket list of things to do is to start getting into college hockey. Cause,
I like it.
It looked pretty, the tournament was pretty entertaining.
Yeah. I don't know about Quinn. Quinn reminds me a lot of like Capuano, where like he was a young guy, came up to coaching ranks, and you know, he coached a young team that made a little bit of noise, like the, you know, in his Rangers days, and the Islanders made the playoffs under Capuano in 2013, and then they kind of fizzled out. I mean, Capuano never got fired and moved to another team as head coach, but you can kind of add that up to Quinn going to San Jose, and then Capuano, like, he just went and he's been an associate head coach. Or like the number one guy behind the head coach in Florida and Ottawa for the last probably 8 years. So I can kind of see that for DQ, your boy.
Yeah. Do you have any legends or bums of the week?
Bums, the entire New York Islanders team for putting me through the heartbreak, as always. Legend of the week. It's a tough one. Man, I'm trying to think of somebody who's done something really noteworthy around the league that I've really enjoyed. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like a ball around the league. I don't know. What do you got while I think?
So my legend of the week is Alexis Lafreniere.
He's been good.
He had 0 points in 7 playoff games last year. He has 3 points in 2 playoff games this year. So
that's huge.
It's all coming together, and I think we're starting to see the fruits of our labor. He's finally starting to bloom, and it's something to be really excited and happy about. Bum to the hate list.
This is so unwarranted.
Bo Horvat, Paul Stastny 2.0.
That's crazy.
Oh,
for a first period under.
Yes, exactly.
Wild. If
Paul Stastny made the list for killing a bet, Bo Horvat has to make the list. Until the Islanders are eliminated, he's on the list.
Oh, he won't be on for long.
Exactly.
Get him off. Bo Quavius.
Yeah. Fair.
I feel the same way about Hurricanes fans, but then again, I also kind of realize it's kind of like politics where like the loudest people are like the ones you see, and like there's probably a lot of chill fans otherwise. So
yeah,
that's why I'm choosing to look at it.
But yeah, good stuff. I don't have a my legend of the week will be Zach Parise scored a playoff goal last night. Hope you get your cup, Zach.
He's got to go through the New York Rangers for that.
He's got to go through the Florida Panthers, I think.
I don't know if it's Rangers Panthers in the conference finals. It's gonna
be a hell of a series.
It's gonna be real scary hours.
Honestly, no matter what it turns out to be, like as long as the Panthers make it, if the Panthers get Carolina or the Rangers, I mean that's just it's a hell of a series either way.
Yeah, you're getting a great Eastern Conference Finals there. We'll wrap it up now.
Damn, 57 minutes.
Yeah, down to the wire again. Another banger in the books. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, whatever. 5-star rating, write us a review. Follow the podcast on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. I said I was thinking about it. I haven't had the opportunity yet. I'm home alone on Friday. Steph's out of town. I'm gonna be watching the game uninterrupted. The only problem is, you know, I live with my parents again, and I don't want to watch the game in front of them because I'm a fan, and sometimes the emotions get high, and I don't want them to be around me and like hearing some of the things that I'm saying because I think they would be disheartened to hear it. But maybe I'll bring back the third period live for the Rangers game on Friday or Sunday. We'll see. But yeah, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. And that is pretty much it. Kevin, you got anything else?
No, sir.
All right, we'll see you guys next week when we officially bury the Islanders. Peace.